items that we do are the quality that we want to provide. So you'll see our parks not look like cookie cutter type.
Welcome to the Growing Strathroy Caradoc podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Sampson, and I'd like you to join me as we explore Strathroy Caradoc and what makes it a place where people and businesses grow deep roots. In this episode, we do a deep dive on the impressive array of recreation programs, parks, and facilities available to the residents of Strathroy Caradoc. Bringing us those insights are Rob Lilburn, the Director of Community and Development Services, and Paul Lattimore, the Manager of Recreation and Culture. We chat about what Strathroy Caradoc delivers to residents, how it collaborates with community groups to deliver even more, and what the municipality is doing on the recreation front to keep up with its growing population. I began with a question for Rob about where recreation sits on the municipality's long list of priorities. Offline, we talked about the community services department as the fun department. And in so many municipalities, it can be really easy to, especially rural ones, to really focus on the less fun but very important services, garbage collection, road maintenance, that type of thing, and maybe leave recreation a little bit behind. How much of a priority is recreation to Strathroy Caradoc?
Well, you know, it was funny because during COVID, we always coined ourselves as the essential, non-essential service. And because, you know, there was a big thing about keeping the parks open, making sure the dog parks were able to be accessed and the trails were being able to be used. So it was interesting to see that flip. Now, as a priority within the municipality, it's important to find a balance. And I have to, you know, Paul would agree with this statement, is that I believe we have a balance. We understand that roads, bridges, water, sewers are very, very important, but we also appreciate that there needs to be growth within the recreation and parks area to satisfy those new residents that are coming to the community. And over the last couple of years, we've had a fair amount of investment put into recreation amenities. There still needs to be more with regards to arenas and community centers and so on. So there needs to be an attention put to that. And this council is working towards some lofty goals with that respect.
Yeah, great. And Paul, would you agree with all that?
For sure. I mean, we've coined ourselves the fun department. And although it may not always be the fun that we get to directly experience, because we're doing the boots on the ground to make sure that everybody else has fun. Just to maybe add a little bit to Rob's piece as well is, I know in the last bunch of years, we've really put a focus to make sure that the items that we do are the quality that we want to provide the community, and not just if we've got a few thousand dollars to do something, well, let's do something. Let's wait until we have enough to do what we really want to do right. And we've really tried to make sure that we provide a lot of different varieties and unique opportunities for the community. So you'll see our parks not look like cookie cutter type that you may have seen in the past or in a lot of other communities. We try to make sure that we put some unique things and some different options throughout the community.
To build on that, I think it's also important to mention that many of the assets that we've had added to our inventory over the last number of years has come with partnerships from the community. So whether it's businesses, service clubs that have come forward to assist, community services is a department that needs the assistance of others to continue to grow our assets. And we have a strong community that supports what we do, and they see the importance. So we thank those partners that we have and the future ones that we'll get.
Yeah. So, Rob, you've already given us a list of some of the things that are available, but I'd like to go even deeper into these facilities and really give a good list here. Like, what do you guys have in Strathroy Caradoc? Since there's quite a few, maybe we'll kind of chop them up into two different categories. Maybe let's start with sort of the indoor facilities.
So indoor facilities, if we look at Strathroy Caradoc as a whole, we have three arenas with four ice surfaces. So we have a twin pad arena and then two single pads. Three of those pads are located in Strathroy. One pad is located in Mount Bridges. Then we've got the community center, which is a large facility that can have banquets, can play pickleball, it's designed to hold meetings, it's got a full service kitchen, and so on. But we also have under our umbrella other venues such as libraries that we own the buildings, but they're managed and operated by our partner at Middlesex County. So those buildings are also full within our department. And we have a museum, which is unique in some respects for a smaller municipality to have a fully functioning museum like we. So those are the indoor venues. We have many more outdoor venues, but what we have currently fits the need of the community that we have.
Okay. And yeah, now let's look at those parks and outdoor facilities. What do you got?
We have over 250 acres of parkland in Strathroy-Caradoc.
Wow.
We have a relationship with the St. Clair Region Conservation Authority, where we operate a lot of their lands as municipal parks. And within those lands, we have soccer fields and ball diamonds, some play structures. We have a splash pad as well. So a number of open space areas. To sit down and tell you exactly the number of playgrounds that we have, I'm not going to be able to give you that number because I'm sure I'll be wrong. But we have a plethora of those structures. And we continue to plan for those as well. So we have into the future the North Meadow Secondary Plan, which is out towards 2nd Street in Strathroy, where there's a number of acres of farmland that is designated to be developed. And there's already a plan in place with regards to what those neighborhoods are going to look like and a park that's going to be installed and so on. So we're looking for the future as well. Continuing with the parks, the Fairgrounds Recreation Complex is really the, I would call it one of the gems in Strathroy. When I started here 14 years ago, I had a ball diamond and a couple of horse paddocks. It now boasts, there's tennis courts here as well before, but there's now ball diamond, tennis courts, pickleball courts, an all-wheel skate park, beach volleyball courts, a full service outdoor basketball court with adjustable nets. We've got a 25-meter outdoor competition pool with a leisure pool attached to it with a water slide. So a number of assets have grown up at that complex. And the majority of those assets were funded through other levels of government or grant programs. So very little direct taxpayer dollars were included in the development of that location. Moving over to Mount Bridges. Again, Mount Bridges has a number of outdoor spaces with regards to parks and playgrounds. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the relationship that we have with the Mount Bridges Lions Club. They have a park on their property of about 25 acres where they have fully groomed accessible trails through their woodlot. They've got a number of buildings and amenities that support that park as well. And they work very, very well with the municipality of Strathroy-Caradoc on newer projects. But again, soccer fields, ball diamonds located in Mount Bridges. We have two pickleball courts dedicated and one tennis court, which is brand new, I'm going to say within the last 3 to 4 years. So we continue to look at where we can increase our amenities at both larger urban areas in Strathroy-Caradoc, being Strathroy and Mount Bridges. I would hate to miss out. We do have other smaller communities that we are looking at. Campbellville, as an example. There is a piece of land in Campbellville that we're looking at right now to figure out how we can make it into more of a park. It's currently a tree lot that needs some significant drainage. So we're looking at how we can improve that area to accommodate those residents, as well as Melbourne, which is a split community that we have between Strathroy-Caradoc and Southwest Middlesex. And we have very, very little land there. But we're looking at ways at how we can help, you know, both those smaller communities within the greater Strathroy-Caradoc.
Amazing. That's an incredible list of spaces and an incredible offering for residents. And it's also a great foundation to be able to offer all sorts of programming. So let's move over to you, Paul. Maybe we can start with a brief overview before we get down to specifics of what's included in this roster of programs that you offer.
Sure. I think the best place to start is, you know, we've got aquatic programs just closing up now, the pool. We have our day camp programs that have been running all summer as well, a few different locations. And then we have our recreation programs that run all year round, different ones in the summer, like our beach volleyball and our women's soccer leagues. But then we continue on into the other months and we have our school year programs. One of the things that when we talk about our indoor facilities on that side of things, and Rob touched on partnerships being a big part of what we do, We have joint use agreements with the school boards because we do have a lack of facilities for the number of programs that we run. So we do run programs out of the high school and some of the elementary schools and the Strathroy Community Christian School as well. So that's kind of where just a brief oversight of those types of programs.
I love this theme of collaboration and partnership that keeps coming up. That's really great. So yeah, kind of like what I did with the facilities with Rob, I'd love to give anybody who's listening like a really good starting point on what kinds of programs over and above what you've already mentioned are being offered. So maybe we can also break this up and start with the more athletic types.
Sure. And just maybe to give a little bit of insight as well is, as the municipality, our role, it's kind of a dual role. We're a provider of programs, but we're also a supporter of the community. So our goal when I was brought in was to increase the number of programs because we really didn't have many that we ran, but also make sure that we're not getting into other areas that the community already provides. So we have lots of areas that are done really well, like hockey, we don't need to get into dance, we don't need to get into soccer. There's little opportunities, but for the most part, it's all taken care of. So when it comes to athletics, we have volleyball programs for all ages. And now, as Rob mentioned, we have outdoor beach volleyball courts. So the last few years, we've been able to provide programs and leagues for that outside. Venturing into younger age programming now, 3 to 5 and 6 to 8 year groups, we've been focusing on 9 to 13 before. So we're offering some programs that are introduction to sports. And that's where I say with the soccer, it's a spot where we can give an introductory program. And then if families see that their kids enjoy playing soccer, they can go into a larger program like the Strathroy United Football Club runs their minor soccer program, and the Delco Bridge for Mount Bridges as well. Other programs, I mean, if I didn't mention pickleball right now, I know that there would be people that would be very upset with me. Probably our most popular program. Right now, especially for adults, we're about to venture into offering it to youth as well. But we could run pickleball almost every single day and fill it up. Like, it's blown up probably universally, certainly in North America. And Strathroy Caradoc is right in there with it.
And is that younger adults and seniors, or more one group than the other?
I mean, it started as a senior sport, and that's certainly where I think the stereotype is, but we've seen our ages go down and down with the participation, and it was generally just being run during the days when it first started, but now we run pickleball in the evenings and have lots of working adults that are engaged in this as well. Like you said, we're about to venture down the kids' road because it's become part of the curriculum at school too, so.
Maybe it'll be the next soccer. You'll be doing intro to pickleball for ages 5 to...
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Now, how about for the people who are maybe less athletic?
Yeah, this is an area where we're growing. And it's the beauty. We've come a long ways with what we offer to the community, but we have a lot of room to still add things. So we've tried to work into some art programs. And a lot of these things we try to introduce in our camps as well. And then bring through to our recreation programs. One thing that we're really proud of is our junior trades program. We've added some options there. And so cooking, we have a junior chef's program. And then carpentry, we have a junior carpenter's program and junior robotics. Those are the ones that we've run to date. So that gives those that maybe don't want the athletics or want some balance, if they've already got a sport that they're playing, but they want to test the waters in something else. It's been wonderful, and you know, I'd hate to start mentioning names that have been involved and missed some. So I'll just say we've had wonderful volunteers that have really helped engage us in the world of trades, and some wonderful supports in the community when it comes to financial supports too.
For anybody whose ears might be perking up at this program, we just released an episode about the Strathroy Caradoc Skilled Trades Hub. So we've got an entire episode on that. So if you're interested in the trades, then definitely give that one a listen. So this probably varies by season, but what is your most popular program?
I got to go back to pickleball. Certainly for adults, if we come to the child and youth side of things, we offer a laser tag program that sees some pretty good numbers. It always fluctuates. So you have your ebbs and flows with programs, but our junior trades between the carpentry and the chefs has been a popular program. We wanted to make sure when we did a program that it hit the quality that it should. And we don't just want kids to make peanut butter sandwiches, or we don't want them just to sand a piece of wood and maybe make it look like something. We've got kids using power tools and saws and hammers and drills, making, like, the first project they ever did was making Adirondack chairs.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And the leader of that program was also the head of the tech department at the high school. And he taught this to grade 11s and said, you know what, this has reinvigorated me, because seeing these kids enjoy themselves and care about it, it is something that I haven't seen in this light for a while. So it's really cool. And you get into the kitchen as well. And one of the things with our junior chefs program is at the end of it, they cook for their parents. So we bring them in and they do a three-course meal. They do appetizers, they do a main course, and they do dessert. And they're taking their orders. They're serving them drinks and their food, and they're dressed up in their aprons and their white shirt and their black pants and their chef's hat. And it's just really cool to see that we can involve the families with that as well.
Something about that program, I remember when Paul first introduced it to me. He's like, so thinking about running a junior trades program and thinking, you know, bandsaws, drill presses, table saws. And I'm like, what age range are we talking? He's like, you know, 9 to 13 or 14. And I'm like, well, I'm not so sure about that, Paul. And then so it took a little bit of convincing, and he convinced me, you know, we checked with our insurance carrier and all of that, doing our due diligence and stuff. But, you know, Paul's job is to push the boundaries a little bit. Let's think outside the box as a department.
And
my job is to be that sober second thought. And Paul has done a great job at developing some of these programs, and a lot of it is pushing those edges.
Mm-hmm. And so, Paul, you know, are the junior trades programs the ones you're most proud of as well, or does something else rise above?
I think just that overarching theme of providing unique experiences, that's certainly one of them. But, I mean, I've got to work with the aquatics programs for the last bunch of years as well, and we have such a young demographic of employees. Like, our camp counselors and our lifeguards are generally in their teens, and the responsibilities that they carry and the quality that they produce is fantastic for that age group that is really just getting into the workforce and testing it out. So I think those would be the things that I'm really proud of, is our staff being able to deliver the quality programs that I've been able to bring to the table. So
I love that. And what about you, Rob? Is there anything within the department you're particularly proud of?
As a personal favorite, not necessarily with regards to programs. I'm going to echo some of Paul's comments with regards to staff. We have a number of summer staff that get hired on to execute all of these programs that we offer through the summer, as well as through the winter and spring and fall. But we also have a core group of full-time staff, everything from operators who, you know, clean the ice, to cut the grass in the parks, to set up the facilities for the different events. If it wasn't for everybody working towards a common goal, we wouldn't be as successful as we are. So I have to throw it out there, you know, to the staff. They're the ones that do the work. And that's my favorite part of all of this, is seeing everybody work together to have a common goal.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Keeping up with you, Rob, the department also oversees community events, and you talked a little bit about the Strathroy Caradoc Museum. Could you talk a little bit more about those?
I can. Paul, you can jump in. This is primarily part of your responsibility. But the community events, we weren't big into community events then, and I'm going to say we're still not from a municipality's perspective. We provide a lot of resources and stuff to events that are run by other organizations. But we have ourselves run some very successful events. And one of the events that kind of tipped us off into doing more was hometown hockey. Mm. And that was not a brainchild. It was an event that was held in communities across Ontario and Canada. And we were lucky enough, we applied and we were able to attract it. And it went off extremely well. Brought a lot of visitors in from outside the community, and that gave us a bit of a, okay, well, let's see what else we can do. So we've built onto some of our special event portfolio. The museum, we're small, you know, when I say small, 24,000 people. We have a full service museum with a curator who has different events displays throughout the year, whether it's curated displays or if they're art shows. She keeps things moving and very fresh within that museum. And they're there for more than just that type of activity. They also do research for community members and do other activities as well. And Paul, I don't know if you want to build on that.
Yeah, I can. Certainly from the event side of things, we do provide quite a few events, and I wouldn't want to talk about it without mentioning Kate Topham's name, she's wonderful, and she's our leader when it comes to running those events. And then, you know, we do events like our Spooky Saturday and Halloween, and we have family day events. We do movies in the park, our night markets, which builds off of our Saturday market, but they extremely successful. We get live music and tons of vendors, and we license the streets, which doesn't turn people away. We've got a lot of really, really cool options that we've been able to put out for the community. And with that thought of trying to keep people local and bring people from out of town into the community so that you don't have to go to the major centers for all of these types of things. So, yeah, no, we're pretty proud of what we've been able to grow here and a lot of these events that engage the community.
Another impressive list. Okay, so going back to the programming, are there fees for those, Paul?
Yeah, we have a schedule of fees that council approves, and we try to make sure that we keep our programs as cost-friendly for the community so that everybody can have an opportunity to participate. You'll find other sports, especially for kids, which will come with a little higher price tag because of what's done, but we try to offset this and, again, keep it cost-effective for the community and support those that maybe can't pay for a larger feed program.
Yeah, and did I see that there's some support for people who may even struggle to pay those fees, even though they're as reasonable as possible?
Yep, absolutely. We've got a Can I Play 2 program that families can apply for. This is supported by the county, and all the families need to do is provide a proof of registration and a few other details about their finances and the children they're signing up. It's not a huge amount of money, but it certainly helps. We usually support somewhere around probably 30 to 35 families a year in being able to subsidize their programming. We can provide subsidy up to 75% of a registration, with the caveat that it needs to be residents of the community that can access this program. Generally, the program needs to be in the community. We have made minor exceptions for programs that aren't offered within our community, but it's a resident trying to do so.
All right. And another barrier potentially to participation might be if any program is oversubscribed. You can only have so many slots, although I know you're really trying to get as much pickleball in there as you can. But in the event that, you know, someone wants to make sure that they get a spot for those programs that book up fast, do you have any advice for them to make sure that they can get in?
Be quick is always the best way. Yeah, we do get programs that develop wait lists. We've always tried to be really diligent in, if there's a high demand, is there ways that we can offer more and get everybody in? You know, if our limit is set at 25 and we have 3 people on the wait list, is there a way to accommodate 28 within the program? Because we want to see people participate. We don't want them to miss out. So, I mean, I can always encourage people, even if you see a program full, still sign up for it, because we will try to accommodate as much as we can. Stay on our social media, because that's where you're going to see all the updates and our website on what's coming, what's there, what you can do, and how you can get involved.
One thing I can add to that is we're in the very near future, with regards to our recreation programs, we'll be limiting the registration to residents only for a period of time. And then after that period expires, we'll open it up to the general public beyond our borders. That has been a bit of a concern with regards to council and making sure that our residents, who are the taxpayers, have priority over those that are non-taxpayers.
Yeah, that's a great approach. and good advice as well. And we'll make sure to include all of your socials in the show notes. So, you know, if anybody isn't following, then they can find it there and hit that follow button. Okay, so this is a bit of a future-looking question to kind of finish off on, and maybe we can start with you, Rob. So Strathroy-Caradoc is a growing community with a population that could double in the next 30 years. How is the Community Services Department planning for that growth?
So we will continue to do what we've done in the past, and that is to conduct our regular studies with regards to master plans and growth plans and so on. We just recently conducted a strategic plan with council, and they're very well aware of the growth projections, and they have plans in place. Council did approve staff to move forward last year with the development of plans for an expansion up at the Gemini Sportsplex to accommodate gymnasiums, program rooms, and so on. They are looking on ways to develop recreation spaces in Mount Bridges for potentially a new arena, community center, that approach as well. So the thought is there and we are moving forward. It's not something that we're able to, you know, just immediately jump out and start constructing. There's lots of infrastructure that we need to deal with currently. So the idea is to get plans in place and activate those plans when time and funds permit. I do know that the current council is looking at ways that they can extend the life of the existing facilities in Mount Bridges to deal with those short-term items.
Great. And Paul, is there anything else that you wanted to add to that, maybe more specifically to recreation?
I mean, recreation is going to continue to grow here as our population does. I think one of the things that we're really seeing is a more diverse population that's coming to the community. So with that comes different wants and needs. So I think in the not too distant future, you're going to start to see some different programs that may come down the pipeline that our newer residents are looking for. So what those will be, I mean, we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver here. So we try to be pretty careful about what we throw out there, but there's certainly some programs that we're looking at that we would like to see expand our repertoire.
So you'll just have to follow those socials and see what gets announced, right?
You're on to us.
All right. Any final thoughts from either of you? Anything you know, you wished I'd asked or wish you'd mentioned?
I mentioned it earlier about thanking the staff, but we should also thank the elected officials who have the trust in their staff to do the job that they've hired them to do. But most importantly, to thank the community. If it wasn't for the community who registers for our programs and provides us ideas for new programs, then our department wouldn't be as needed. And, you know, it goes to show the quality of programs and the quality of the new facilities that we're putting out there is reflective with the registration numbers that we're getting with regards to our programs. So a big thank you for all involved, in particularly the community.
All right. Anything from you, Paul?
Yeah, I think the one program we kind of touched on generally but didn't identify it is the Progress Through Partnership program. And it's a program that we have that works with community groups and organizations to leverage some funds, and we can contribute up to 50% of a project, and it becomes a municipal asset. So projects like we did the basketball court and the beach volleyball courts. So it's the Vaughn McPherson Memorial Basketball Court. It's the Jacob Damon Memorial Beach Volleyball Court. Those are both at the fairgrounds, things that we've been able to leverage that program for and essentially create assets that have increased our programming. Another thing that we have that's really unique, I think that we might have missed, was our Sleepy Hollow Railway at the fairgrounds. So we have a miniature train and we have a group of CN volunteers, the Strathroy Model Railroad Engineers. It's a dedicated group that are emphatic about the train. And I mean, we get so many people from the community that come out to ride the train and love it. And it's one of those things that's just really cool. And our partnerships from our joint use agreements to PTP are really the reason we're able to do what we can do, because we do have limited facilities, but we have a growing population. And unfortunately, the facilities can't just pop up like that because they cost a lot of money. So when we work together with the community, we can provide way more. And that's where I think we've really found our success.
Amazing. So you're getting creative to make sure that there's unusual and interesting and fun things to be offered to the residents of Strathroy Care Dock. Rob, Paul, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you for having us.
That was Rob Lilburn and Paul Lattimore from Strathroy Care Dock's Community Services Department. Check out the links in the show notes for more information and to sign up for some programs. If Strathroy Care Dock sounds like a place you'd like to live, learn more about our community at strathroy-caradoc.ca. If this episode has encouraged you to invest here, you should connect with Heather Lalonde, our Director of Economic Development and Community Engagement. Her contact coordinates and more can be found at investstrathroy-caradoc.ca. Next time on the Growing Strathroy Care Dock podcast, a topic that's incredibly relevant if you're thinking of moving here: housing. What's available? What's coming down the pipeline? Follow us on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to be notified when it drops. This podcast was produced by Storied Places Media. Thanks for listening.